Verse 13. And it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for these three that we're able to celebrate. Father, we know that this is Your house, this is Your day. But Lord, we lift these three up to You, Lord, in gratefulness. Lord, asking that You bless them, asking that You help them on their journeys. Lord, we pray for today now as we open up Your Word. We pray for those that are here, those that couldn't make it, those, Lord, dealing with chronic illnesses and pains, Lord, things that need to heal. We pray for those with the cancers, Lord, those that are looking at some very bad news. We know, Lord, that You are the master of all things, the great physician, and we trust in You and Your decision-making. Lord, help us to do right by those that are doing ill, those that are doing not as well as they could be. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to each other, Lord, as well as a help. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When I was, when I was graduating, I was given some advice. And that advice comes from this passage of Scripture we just read. And if you'll indulge me this afternoon, I'd like to preach to the other demographic in our church. I know most of you, you've lived your lives. You have settled on doctrines for longer than I've been alive. But I don't want to neglect the younger generation that is among us here. And I figure today, with everything that we're doing, would be a good time for me to pass on that advice that was given to me when I was first starting off. And it has to do with much of what Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, just because, again, we're dealing with decision-making in the earlier parts of life, doesn't mean that there's not something strong and good in here for each and every one of us. Right? The word of God is good no matter what age you are. The word of God is good no matter what stage of development you're in. It doesn't matter. God's Word is good for you in every aspect. So as we look at this passage in Ecclesiastes, he is summing up all of these things. And you begin and he's talking about all the things he did. And all the things that Solomon says, hey, I did these things. They're things that still tempt people today. When we were at camp, I talked to the teen boys and I said, hey, listen, here are some things that the world says are very important, that you're not a man if you don't have, but I'm telling you, the Bible says that there's one who tried those things and they came out empty for him. They didn't do no good for him. Right? They'll sit there and say, well, a man ought to be able to drink a lot. A man ought to be able to give himself into some pleasure from time to time. A man ought to be able to seek pleasure and riches and getting lots of money and great gain in things. But none of those things hold out. Now, a person ought to work hard. You ought to make sure that you're handling your business. You ought to make sure that things are going well. And everything you do, you ought to do so well, you're doing it for God and not for the boss man. That ought to be how we do it. There's nothing wrong with a little sweat on the brow, making some money, cashing a paycheck. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when that becomes your life. It is not having money, but it is the love of money that the Bible says is the root of all evil. When I'm willing to trade who I am, when I'm willing to trade the standards God has given me so I can have it, that's when you're in trouble. Solomon says, I tried all these things. I drank. I had wives. I had concubines. I built gardens. I built mansion. I gave myself everything I wanted. And it was vanity. It was just decoration. He sought no peace from it. He got no reward from it. He got no joy from it. Why? Because in the end, it was just a thing. My mom always had a weird thing. We'd pass by a giant house, and my dad would be like, oh, look at that. Wouldn't that be nice to live there? And my brothers and I would look at the yard, or my brother and I would look at the yard, and we'd look at all the stuff that made it awesome. They've got a pool. There was a house in Flat Rock, had a tree house in it was nicer than the first house Danielle and I rented when we first got married. It was gorgeous. It had a balcony, it had a walkway from the house to the tree house. Right? I go back, whoa, it's huge, it's nice. And oh, that wouldn't that be fun to live there? My mom would always say the same thing. She'd say, I couldn't imagine cleaning that. And we'd sit there and say, Mom, what are you talking about? She goes, you kids make a mess out of everything. I ain't moving in there with you. She goes, and if I did move in there without you, I'm hoping she said, it was, she was thinking when we moved out of the house and she moved in there, I would just be walling things off so that nobody would go in there so I wouldn't have to clean in there. And that's kind of Solomon's thing. I gave myself everything. And in the end, it was just a place to live. In the end, it was just a thing. I had to maintain the gardens. I had to do this. I had to do that. Not that there was anything wrong with them. It just didn't do what you thought it would do. It didn't fix anything. It didn't restore anything. It just gave you a place to live. Now, you ought to have a place to live. That's fine. You ought to have a little money in your pocket. You ought to have a garden. You ought to have those things. But they won't fulfill you spiritually. One of the things that I was told is, hey, listen, while you seek life, while you build life, never forget that it is God that provides fulfillment. Everything else is just fun. Everything else is just an added thing. I get to have this degree. I get to do this and apply into this job. And I hope for you young ladies, the things that you're studying are things that you're passionate about. Things that, yes, you can make money with, but yes, you can enjoy. I hope that that's what you're doing there. I hope you get great enjoyment out of it. You know, I know it's a different kind of veterinary care, but Danielle went to vet tech school and she'd come home from her job and, oh yeah, we did this to a cat today, that to a dog today. While I'm eating food, I got no enjoyment out of her job, man. I just, you know, can we talk about this after dinner? But to her, it was great joy. To her, it was a great thing. I hope you're going to have a good time. I hope the Lord blesses what you're going to do. I really do. But it will not fulfill you spiritually. It'll put money in your bank account. It'll fill your days with fun, excitement, and engagement. But it won't do anything for your heart. They say, oh, well, we were talking this morning, oh, get a job you enjoy. So you know what? I can have a whole lot of fun in a job I don't enjoy. I've done it. You know what I mean? It's all about what's going on the inside. And if you don't fix the inside, we could put billions in your bank account, give you every title you could ever wish for, and you would still, like Solomon, sit there at the end of it and go, vanity. Vanity. I want you to join me over. Forgive me here. Xander, on my desk is a verse list. It's a notebook page. It's got verses written on it. Can you go grab that for me? Thanks, buddy. Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. What we have to understand is in life, it doesn't matter if you're 19 or 90. The fact of the matter is the devil is always grinding. He's always working. He's always trying to make things that shouldn't impress, impress. You know, I've talked about that and I've made mockery of certain things that this world promotes. Dress like this, put this in your body, talk like this, be like this, and always putting it out there. And that's what so many say. They will tell you these lines here in Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice. And of course, in this case, it's a young man, but hey, young women, don't feel left out. In thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart. That's what the world says. Oh, Disney, with all of its magic, follow your heart. Well, the heart's deceitfully wicked. I don't know about your heart, but my heart can't make up its mind half the time. Do I want to go here or do I want to go there? And then you get there and you start wishing you did the other thing. I ain't saying that there's anything broken or wrong with you outside of your sin nature. But there's something unstable about the desires of the heart. They were talking today. I was reading something, and I don't know what I probably shouldn't describe to you why it caught my attention. But there was this star from the 90s. They caught her living in an RV with her five kids. And the article went on to debate. This is how banal and mind-numbing this article was. Went on to debate whether or not she's just that broke, or if like there was a legitimate reason, like are they on vacation all summer or something like that. And just this person, they gave themselves everything. They were one of the clowns telling people, follow your heart, do what feels good. And that's what she did. And one particular part in her life, her dad spent all this money for her to have a great big wedding. During the first year of her marriage, she was cheating with a guy who was married. They both divorced their spouses, and within a year of this million-dollar wedding she had, was married again. Gave herself whatever she wanted, just dumped it on herself. And now what has come of her? Judgment. Now God's judgment comes in two ways. Number one, He lets us have what we're working for. Number two, He punishes us for it. Comes in two ways. Sin will always do what it does, no matter who's cheering for it. Doesn't matter how good it looks. Doesn't matter how prominent or wonderful. That's what marketing does. Marketing is supposed to take something that you wouldn't normally want and make you want it. And the devil is the world's best marketer. There ain't a salesman alive as skilled and knowledgeable about human behavior as the devil himself. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. My heart doesn't have wisdom. My heart just has wants. It is a greedy little goblin making demands, sending impulses. It is that carnal part of me, that impulsive part of me. The one that, much like a five-year-old child, must be told to calm down every now and then. And I've learned, it doesn't matter how old you are, you still have that impulse, that sin nature, to desire the wrong thing. Well, how do you feel? Doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how you feel. Feelings come and go. Feelings are based on your processing of information around you. Well, I feel like this. I feel like that. I watched a couple videos on YouTube, and I've come to the conclusion that I've got this and I've got that. Stop relying on your feelings. Don't start relying on your feelings. Dig down deep and find out what's real. What's real? I don't believe the church is a good thing. I believe that it's a bad thing. I believe you're a fool if you go to church. These are all things I heard in my first few years outside, and I was hearing it during school too. You go anywhere, you turn on the TV. All right, this God thing ain't real. This God thing is for weak-minded people. This God thing is for the delusional and the void of understanding. And then I look over at the things that they're doing, and I question. I question. We drove you to the hospital last night for alcohol poisoning. What are you doing? Well, there's a party over here, and I'm going to go there. And you tell me that I'm restricted. You tell me that I'm sheltered. You tell me that I'm void of understanding. But that is poison you're putting into your body. That doesn't make sense, that thing that you're saying. And I'll argue with some people to the point to where they'll say, listen, I know that what I'm saying isn't real, but I'm trying to fix a society I don't believe in. Doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It's real. And if we are not cautious, if we are not deliberate with our actions and our words, that twofold judgment comes down on us. That thing you're working for, you get. That thing that you're doing with your sin and your decision makings, you end up reaping what it is that you sowed. And then you still have to answer to God for it. And every decision we make, it must be with the understanding that God is watching and God is God cares what it is that we do, that it matters what it is that we do. In this particular time in your life, it is not a time to follow your heart, but it is a time of focus. The decisions that you make in your life in the coming years will color the rest of your life. And I've often said that that is, frankly, it seems a bit unfair. I wish that I could make all the decisions I made when I was in my 20s right now. And I'll tell you what, when I'm 50, I bet I have even a little bit more. You know, some of you are sitting there going, man, the things I would do if I was 20 again. But we get the wisdom after, right? We get the wisdom and the experience after we make the decisions. And I guess there's no other way to do it. You can't be born and live backwards, but oh, how much better lives we would be able to build if we could. Ah, but wisdom must be sought after. Focus must take place. So many people, well, I want to play at this and I want to goof around with that and then maybe I'll take my life seriously. You don't know how long life is. And as the time ticks, the time for building, the time for shaping yourself, the time to giving yourself to that work that you're called to do, that time grows ever more serious and you run out of time eventually. It should be a time for wisdom. Now, in the people that I'm referring to here, your parents, your grandparents speak often of your wisdom and soundness of mind. And as I prayed for a perfecting of that wisdom. And that's really what we ever do. We have wisdom, we perfect it. We develop it. We're better at using it. And I pray that during this time of your 20s and of decision making, you cling to your wisdom and not listen to the folly of those around you that would say that, yeah, let's play. Let's take risks that we shouldn't. You know what I mean? There are some risks in life, but there are some that are more folly than they are wise. And I pray that each and every one of you, I encourage each and every one of you to stick to the sound wisdom you were raised with. In matters of finances, in matters of personal company, in matters of personal development, cling to wisdom. And I must also tell you that it will be a time of great temptation because there will be many who are off at play. There will be many that sit there and say, hey, view life like this. Hey, relax a little. Hey, put a little of this in your body. Hey, experiment with this or that. And I'm telling you, as sure as I faced it, you will face it harder. There are things legal now. There are things widely acceptable now. There are things taught by people who know better now that were taboo and illegal when I was your age. Things have gotten harder. So often I hear that epitaph, kids don't know how easy they got it these days. Hold on now. There are temptations more widely influenced than there have ever been before. It used to be the things that were not spoken of in the hallways of a school, right? You wouldn't talk about them, you wouldn't think about them, are now being taught by the teachers. It's no longer a matter of stay away from drugs. Now it's a matter of how to do it responsibly. Folks, we are in trouble, and this generation is targeted. There will be temptations. Stick to your guns. Protect yourselves. Protect your future. Because there are foolish and silly people out there, and they want you to come to their party. You have to decide to stick with wisdom. If you'll go with me over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12, 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There was a time in each and every one of our lives where we reached adulthood and we said, I made it! And we got those sweet few tastes of freedom. I drove on my own for the first time. I got my first car. My first job. Well, probably the other way around, right? First the job, then the car. I'm out on my own. I got my first place. Oh, I've got this. I've got that. I've achieved that. Oh, man, we were so excited to start these things off. And we sit there in school. I remember when I was in high school, sitting there going, man, this is going to be amazing when I get out of high school. I'm tired of having to work so hard. Some of you are laughing. Because you, like me, graduated. And reality and responsibility came and just ganged up on your face, didn't it? Just, you know. There are times where things are good. Now, you may not know that they're good. Somebody told me, these are the best years of your life. And I was looking at some of the problems I was facing going, But in all actuality, even if you're going through a hard time, even if you're struggling now, things will get harder. Hey, but don't worry, they'll also get better. Now, I've sat there through some of the worst times in my life before I graduated. And I went through some more bad times after. But then they were always highlighted by some of the best times of my life. Things wax and wane in the blessing department. God always gives you what you need. But there will be times of intense struggle. There'll be in times of intense ease when things are good and you're catching up. And it'll come and go. And you got to mind when things are easy, follow God. Right now is the time to do it. Because the rest of your life is about to get real hard. It's about to get real busy. I thought I was busy when I was in school, and then I got a job. I thought I was busy working, and then we had kids. And I thought I was busy having kids, and then I became a pastor, and I was like, well, that's okay, it'll be different. I won't have 12, 13-hour days. And it turns out, I'm still a busy character. It gets busy. I can't tell you how many times I've told you this, my lament. I'll sit there, I'll take a couple hours, plan out my week. I can't tell you how many times I've moved that bulletin board from one week to the next. And I sit there and I'm, oh no, I can't believe, I must be the worst person on earth. I can't believe I can't get, you get busy. Do it now. Be honest about God. Be serious with God. Do your business with God now. While things are easy. While things are possible. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. All right, many of you, you had an opportunity that I did not have. I envy these three girls that stood before us because they were raised in godly homes. Not perfect homes. Ain't nobody got one. Right? But godly homes. They were raised in church. They were taught from a young age the things of the Bible. They were taught right and wrong according to God. You have a wonderful opportunity. You were given a gift. Remember it. Because the temptation will be to very quickly forget it. The devil will come out with these temptations and these things, and you will be tempted and you'll see them. And everybody over there looks like they're having such a good time with this philosophy, with this drug, with this whatever. And you will be tempted to forget, even the strongest of you. Remember. Remember God. When things do get hard, and as that verse says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When things get hard, that's when you're going to need to know how to remember God. So practice it now. Because when your body is tired, your heart is tired, your spirit is tired, it's good for you to have had the practice. People who have developed a skill, they do the same maneuvers and the same behaviors over and over again to play an instrument, to perform a sport, to do this or to do that. They practice very, very purposefully, very diligently. They do their work so that when things are difficult, they know how to do it. In the military, that's how they train people. They make loud noises and they make them run and they beat them up day and night. Why? So that when they are tired, when they are fatigued, when their brains are shot, They still know what to do. Now, as things are easy, remember your Creator, so that in the time when you go through difficulty, you will remember your Creator. You will go down on your knees. You will ask for His help. And you will know to trust Him because He's good. Remember now, because there will come a time where it is difficult to remember. I can't tell you how many times I've been there. I can't tell you how many times people have shared that with me. I know the right thing, but it's hard to remember it. It's hard to feel it when things get difficult. Remember now. Practice that remembrance. And then we go back to our text in 12:13. We go back to our text in 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What is the first thing we must learn how to do? We must first learn to fear God. And let me tell you, you learn it one time, you're going to have to learn it again. I like that old song. That song sums us up so perfectly. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And there have been so many in Scripture that shared that testimony. If I'd have never left God, if I'd have just stayed with Him, if I'd have just considered His ways, these things wouldn't have happened. I consider Adam and Eve, and the Bible doesn't distinctly say it, but I can't imagine how they couldn't have gone over to the grave of Abel and sat there and heard those words echoing in their ears, "For thou shalt surely die." I imagine those as they fled from Babel, many of them remembering what it is that God had said from the beginning. Those that would fall under torment, those that would get into trouble, those that would suffer, so often looking back going, "If I'd have just honored God." And then among others, I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who when everybody else deserted God, they didn't. And they saw great things. Those disciples who, despite everybody walking away, said, "Lord, where else would we go? You have the words of life. Where else would we go?" And the wonderful things that they were able to see. Those that came after in the church age, those that strove, those that took it on the jaw from time to time just to stand and remember and follow God. They feared God. They put God first above everybody else. They saw God as their motivation, as their reason, and they reaped the benefits. But again, those who do not fear God, they reap crops of other things. Sorrow, regret, trouble. We must give ourselves over to the respect that God deserves. We think of the devil in the garden. Is that what God said? Listen, if God said it, I know He said it. Why? Because I fear Him. I respect Him. That's what He said. We ought to know the Word of God enough to know what it is that He said. Right? Well, it says here that in the Bible that this is the way you ought to dress. Do you really believe that? If that's what He said, that's what He said. Well, I know that that's what it looks like, that that's what the Bible says. But if you look back in history, history written by who? Somebody going for a thesis? Somebody who created an idea based off of a picture they saw on a wall somewhere, going, "Oh, this must have been how they all..." No! What is known? This is what God says to do. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what anybody may perceive God says. If He said it, He said it. And I take Him at face value. God is not mistaken. God is not wrong. Man can be wrong. Ideas can be wrong. Philosophies can be wrong. But God is the one thing we know to be sure. Fear Him. Respect Him. It says, fear God. It also says, keep His commandments. There are many ways of keeping commandments. One, the good old-fashioned way, obey them. Obey them. I will keep them on my person. I will abide by them. I will obey them. That is the strictest definition of keeping the commandments. Oh, but they're old-fashioned. Oh, but they're not commonly accepted. Oh, but I'll stick out. You know what? Most folks ain't paying that close of attention. Don't worry about sticking out. And I tell you what, if somebody says anything about the way you look, the way you dress, or what you don't say, they're probably paying far too close attention to you. And typically that's a sign of their insecurity, not yours. Not yours. Danielle used to get that in high school from time to time. She used to wear dresses to church, or she wore, you know, skirts to, not church, but she wore skirts to school. And you know, this one girl was just kind of giving her a hard time about it, running her mouth about it. I'm like, why on earth do you care what somebody else is wearing? Why does that bother you? Now, I walk through these schools, I've got a conviction of how people should dress, but I don't sit there and gossip and burn on other people. I'm not going to sit there and have a full-on lunchroom conversation with a group of my friends about something somebody else is wearing. You've got to be real insecure for that business. I had somebody rake me over the coals one time because I don't talk like an adult. I go, what do you mean I don't talk like an adult? Well, you don't cuss. What's wrong with you? Parents never gave you permission? I said, no. I've got a higher vocabulary. I got other words to use. You know, another time somebody was giving me a hard time over it. I go, I've got a hard enough time speaking as it is. I don't need extra words in there to try to fumble around with. It's too late for me to learn new words. I had to go to therapy to learn the ones I got. Right? I had to go through speech therapy as a kid in order to enunciate and speak out. I'm still not perfect at it. I got that. Listen, Bible says no corrupt communication, and that is where I stand. I don't care you don't think I'm an adult. What's the matter? You don't drink? No, I don't. And you want to know the list? I hope you got time to read, because I got a list for you. Most importantly, I got scriptural reasons why I don't. Amen. Oh, what about this marijuana? The Bible don't say nothing about marijuana. Listen, you pay very close attention to what the Bible talks about concerning witchcraft, and it has a lot more to do with druggings than abracadabra. It has a lot more to do with drugs than abracadabra. What they would do is they'd bring you in a room, you'd smoke a little something, you'd drink a little something, maybe you'd chew on a little something, and all of a sudden you'd see all these things. And you'd feel as though a cosmic entity would talk to you. And you would sit there and you'd go, oh, this must be real. Listen, I'm telling you, that stuff that's happening is not really going on. I had a roommate one time, got over this stuff. He told me, he goes, I didn't experiment, I perfected. He got into some stuff. And he'd sit there and he'd talk about the stuff that he would see and the experiences that he would have. And he goes, anybody who thinks that's real needs to go see a doctor. He goes, I was driving down the road one time, saw a gorilla driving in the car next to me. Now listen, in the metaphysical way, did he look over and see the reality of a gorilla driving next to him? There was something dying in his brain. And that's what he saw. So when you see witchcraft in the Bible, it's often to do with either sedating or putting somebody into a psychedelic trip so that they would experience things. We just got done talking about the witch at Endor. That was her gag. That's how many of the quote-unquote witches would work. You'd smoke a little something, breathe a little something, you'd chew or drink a little something, and all of a sudden you become highly suggestible. And all of a sudden you'd believe anything. Listen, we've got those things, but we're selling them en masse. It's not just the pharmaceuticals. I mean, you got stuff coming out of the woodworks that's trying to play with your mind. They've done scientific research about what screens can do to your head. And I'm telling you, it's a sedation tactic just like anything else. Well, do you think it's a conspiracy? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If I'm sitting there setting a mousetrap and it goes off on my finger, I don't care if the company meant for it to go off on my finger or not. You got to be careful with stuff that can hurt you. That's it. We got to be mindful. That stuff is destroying people. You know, you sit there and you see people out in public and you see what meth is doing to them. You see what the ketamine's doing to them. You see what the fentanyl's doing to them. You see what this is doing to their bodies, what it's doing to their minds. And everybody sits there and says, oh, you Baptists are so old-fashioned. Are you kidding me? There will be great temptations to not keep his commandments, but I'm telling you, it's a trap. I'm telling you, it's a trick. Not to go back to Disney since I started off picking on it, but I always think back to Pinocchio. Remember Pinocchio? Got to go to Bad Boy Island. Can't remember. I think it was Pleasure Island or whatever it was called. But it's Bad Boy Island. And what happens? All you can smoke on this island. You can drink on this island. You can do whatever you want on this island. Come to this island. And in the end, all the boys just turn into donkeys. And then what do they do with the donkeys? They sell them. Now that's not theology, but follow me. Right? That's not theology, but listen. Why do we sell the beer? Why do we sell the tobacco? Why do we now sell marijuana in our state? Why do we now continue to put out these things? Because people make money. And it's very important to them that you understand that to keep God's old-fashioned notions of staying away from stuff, right, is bad for you. Oh, it restricts you. You'll be miserable. Come out over here so we can make money off of you. Come buy our product. Click like, subscribe, and share. Please follow. Please hearts. Please this or that so I can get the money. By the way, here's a philosophy that I haven't tested nor tried nor really could tell over a long period of time if this is going to kill you, help you, or hurt you, whatever. I don't know. But here's this philosophy. Please, again, make it to where I can make money. And you get these people, they stand up and believe you me, there's going to be some college professors in your life that are lowlifes. They're not good people. I had them, you'll have them. Right? Just because somebody has a teaching position doesn't mean that they are a good teacher. Right? I've known some teachers, like a math teacher. I had a really good math teacher. Horrible human being. Gave rotten advice. Would tell kids how to cheat the system and do this and do that. One time he gave some bad advice, got a kid suspended. Just because they're in a position of authority don't mean they got it all together. But you know who does have it all together? God. We keep His commandments. Well, what you got to do is cheat a little here and do over. But isn't that deceitful? Well, you got to decide. Are you going to be a good boy or are you going to be a successful boy? That's what I was told one time. You're going to be a good boy or you want to get some stuff done? Are you going to be a good boy or are you going to be a successful man? Well, I'm going to tell you what I am. I'm going to honor God. Because I've seen too many people burned up that way. I trust him. I don't trust you. Right? And I told a teacher one time, in 8 months, you will be in my rear view mirror. I really don't need that advice. Well, what you need to do is you need to give up this notion of becoming a pastor. You're never going to make any money. You're never going to become all that successful. You're never going to get anywhere. Listen, this is where you do really well. You ought to lean into that and do this and do that and maybe do that preaching thing on the side. You know what? I bet he was right. About the money. I bet he was right about that path. But I'm going to tell you this. A lot more happier obeying the Lord than I would have if I stepped anywhere else. I might not have what the world deems as best. But I've got what God says is best. And I'm deliriously happy. I don't need those things. You don't need those things. Keep his commandments. The other way that we can keep his commandments is by what we're doing now. Talk about it. Teach it. Preach it. Keep it going. There are churches out there right now, people out there right now that would love to supplant the word of God. They want the rules to go away. There are people in the secular world who want the rules to go away. But as the disciple said, and I mentioned, those are the words of life. They're sound wisdom. Good for decision making. Good for life building. We must keep the commandments. And we must fear and remember God, as both verses say. We must fear Him and remember Him in all the things that we do. Right? You know, when Danielle became a veterinary tech, you got to fear and remember the Lord in that job. When I was working over at the apartment industry, I had to find a way to fear and remember God in that job. As I became a parent, I had to learn how to fear and remember God in that responsibility. As a husband, I must fear and remember God. Now as a pastor, I must fear and remember God. Some of you are retired. As you are retired, you must remember to fear and remember God in all things. There's not a lick of your life, there's not a corner of it that will not be blessed by fear and remembrance of God. And likewise, there is not a thing God can't destroy or pull out of your life if you fail to remember and fear Him. We must fear and remember God. Now, I'm not talking fear. You know what I mean? Fear is in respect. Now, does that also mean, you know, a little bit of the real fear? Absolutely. I don't want to hurt God, and I don't want God coming after me. Right? He ain't cruel. He ain't mean. He's a loving God who chastens those that love Him. Right? When my kids get out of line, when I was a kid and I got out of line, when you were a kid and you got out of line, there was somebody there to tap you back in. Right? That's what a loving God does. We get out of line, He brings us back. So I do fear that a little bit. You know, somebody was asking about my dad yesterday. We were walking through and continue to pray for him and his health. He still has struggles and we're walking through. And, you know, I'm not afraid that my dad is going to spank me anymore. I stopped being afraid of that when I was 11. You know, I stopped being afraid of it. But you know what? I got a lot of fear for that. I got a lot of fear of that man. I got a lot of respect for that man. You know, in many ways, you know, that you figure out your parents differently when you're an adult. Because the relationship changes. But that's still my dad. I'm walking through. Hey, let's go over here. And me, you know, I'm a dad now. My dad don't tell me let's go over here. Don't tell me to go over there. No, me, I just, all right, Dad, let's go. I'm like, hey, Dad, you know what we ought to do? We ought to do this. He says, no. And I go, all right, Dad. I never thought another thing of it. That's still my dad. I still have that respect for him. And it's not just, again, that I must obey, I must not obey, I must have respect. There is respect that comes with love. My dad and I, we've got this habit. It's not a long-standing one, but it's one that's developing. Whenever we go to a county fair or anything like that, we look for this one restaurant thing called Bayou Billy. You ever see that? Well, it's a downriver thing. You'd have to be there to know it. But he, jambalaya-style food, barbecue, he's got some good stuff. So you go, and it's one of those things where you get the cup, and you can refill it for like 99 cents all day, and it's really, bring it back at the next one, you can refill it again. We like to look for that guy. We like to eat there. And you know, while they're split the food or whatever have you, because you get too much. You know, so we look for him. You know, yesterday I was like, hey, Dad, he's here. The guy who started the company, he's on every cup. He's here. He goes, what? We looked over at him, and there he was. I said, Dad, we should get our picture taken with him. And he looked at me like I was crazy, and I love it when my dad thinks I'm crazy. I don't know why. It's always been fun. We're sitting there, and he's eating for a while. And he goes, well, maybe we should. I said, all right. We went over there, and we got a picture. For as much as I want to do what's right by my father, as much as I respect him and fear him in a way, it is a love and a respect. Sorry, it's a respect and a fear that is built on love. And that ought to be our relationship with our Heavenly Father as much as it is our earthly. I love Him. That fear went from afraid of the chastening to afraid of disappointing. Because I love Him. Because the fellowship that I have with Him is of such that I would not disappoint Him. I would not want to disappoint Him. So in all the things, listen, as a high school in the pre-college school age, fear and remember God. As college is finished, as it has started, fear and remember God. When you begin careers, when you do your work, Heidi, as you're lancing boils and doing whatever it is you do with cows, right? Fear, remember God. right? As the teeth cleaning and the architectural building, the engineering begins. Fear and remember God. As you make decisions concerning a family, I pray that you fear and remember God, because He will help you in all of those situations. Well, how can God help me design this, or help with the health of a person's teeth, or help with an animal's health? How can... Trust me. I don't know the professions. I don't know, but I know this. God, He knows everything. He's going to be in there for you. What about family? As you make decisions concerning family, I pray that the men that you settle down with, I pray that they be godly men, good men. Men that will love you and care for you. And as you make decisions concerning children, I pray the same, that you remember God and you fear God in those decisions. Because listen, right now, you're starting life. But very soon, you're going to find yourself where I am. You're kind of past the decision-making zone, or they call it the danger zone, where you're making those rapid decisions. And now there's life in my house. And if I'm not the person I ought to be, if I don't fear and remember the Lord, I'm going to hurt them. I'm going to mess them up. And very soon you're going to blink and you're going to find yourself where I am. And very soon both of us are going to get to blinking and we'll be retired. Sitting in churches, Lord willing, looking back. All the wisdom, all the advice that we could give to somebody starting off. Fear and remember the Lord in all things. And I promise you, it'll be far better than anything this world has to offer you. It'll be better than the shortcuts. It'll be better than the temptations. And you got to remember, being around the block a few times, I've seen people compromise. I've seen people forget. I've seen people elevate and fear other things over God. And I'm watching the consequences. And many of them have come back to me and said, it wasn't worth it. I forgot some things. I didn't do some things. And now I've got a mess. Others, they're still out there in that lifestyle, elevating other things, forgetting God. And they're taking it on the jaw. Slaps to the face from this world. You see, the devil, he invites you out. But he's the kind of person who will invite you out but leave you at the restaurant with the bill. That's who he is. He'll sit there and start trouble and walk out. You know, I had a friend one time, he picked a fight with these kids at another table. And then just as things got real rowdy, he walked away and left and went to the bathroom. Left us with the argument, left us with the fight. You know what I mean? That's who the devil is. He'll put you in a rough spot telling you it's going to be a good time. And then when it comes down to realizing that it's bad, he ain't going to be there to work you out. Right? The people who sit there and promote this lifestyle, the people who promote carnality and depravity, they're out there saying, hey, there's nothing depraved about this. There's nothing bad with this. There's nothing wrong with this. They don't know their foot's in a trap. They don't know. And they won't know until they go to give it up and they realize it's got a harder hold on them than they realized. We ought to fear God. We ought to remember Him. From childhood to the day before we're called home, we have to fear and remember Him. Because one day, we're going to stand before Him. Lost or saved, we'll all get our day before the Lord. They say, hey, get your day in court. Yeah, you might not have to go to court. I've never gone to court. At least not for being in trouble. You know what I mean? I might not ever get a day in man's court. But I will get a day in God's court. There won't be a day of arguments and debates and evidences and excuses. It'll be what you do, how you did it. Oh, and I pray for those. It'll be at that other judgment. Are you in the book or are you out? Whatever the business that needs to be done for the Lord, I pray it's done today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to have such forward-minded and strong individuals among us. Lord, please, again, I ask that you bless them, bless their families, help us as a church to be a blessing. Lord, help us all to remember you. Help us all to fear you. So that, Father, our actions may be right. That, Lord, we may be found not only blameless and not only righteous, but, Father, as great examples, great lights guiding others to you. Father, I can think of no greater thing to do with our lives than to live according to your words and your commandments. Help us, Father. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.